Vandaag toch wel tijdens die 40 jaar Radio Centraal een moment om stil te staan bij de vrije software en het radio maken. En daarvoor hebben we de collega's van het, laten we zeggen, onze buren eigenlijk, of toch niet zo ver van ons, hebben we in de studio Lassus en Simon van Radio Paniek.
Hallo.
Hallo.
En hebben we ook Pieter van GNU Garistas, die helpt bij, of de support doet bij Radio Campus.
Ja.
Ja, en dan proberen we ook nog Hans van Air Libre te horen. Maar we hadden hem op de nachtmachine gezet. Ja, de schuif staat helemaal open. Hans, kan je nog eens proberen om te zien of dat we je kunnen horen? Nee, dat gaat nog niet. Dus daar gaan we dan nog eventjes met wachten. Misschien is die kabel toch wel... ik denk dat het de kabel misschien is die het niet helemaal goed doet. We gaan de kabel eventjes uittrekken om te zien of dat het uit onze micro komt. Wat? Hans kan ons al wel horen. Dat is al iets. Hè? Dus we gaan dat misschien... Ja, maar misschien is deze kabel... Ik had een heel lange kabel gepakt. Normaal is die kabel verbonden nog met een andere kabel. Misschien is het daaraan die connectie. Het is een verlengende kabel. Ja?
Pieter is dan in het...
Ja, is het, doet het niet?
Nee.
Ah, ik had het precies even...
Yes, we heard.
Ah, shit, dat zeg jij.
Ja, yeah,
ah, no. Okay, so I'm going to look for an other cable. And today we will also do the conversation part in English.
Yes.
As our friends are French speaking. And we have still also somebody who is mute. So the sign language won't help yet. So... a little bit of confusion and chaos in an analog studio.
Yeah, I like it.
We are very happy that we are still streaming with P-Box, which is the meta radio, which offers the technology for us to be in the studio, but not really in the studio.
Thank you, P-Note.
I see some people still confused around the the mixing table. Maybe Hans, can you talk again, Hans? Eh, Hans, can you talk again?
Hans?
Yeah. Ah,
I sorry, think all the time. Sorry, confused for my voice.
So,
I'm sorry. It's just my voice.
Hans
is gone, but it's not going to be replaced so easily by Simon. Don't worry.
Yeah, so I think I will have to get another cable in a music intermezzo. But let's already start for now with the people which are present. So yeah, we try to define a main axis of conversation, and that is we are all independent radio makers, and I think we have a specific choice why we are doing and making radio. And the question which intrigues us more is like, okay, if we make this radio, technically we enter the digital era, and we exist 40 years. Of course, a radio also has to position herself, let's say, towards the technology which becomes like more and more ubiquitous and omnipresent, and also make specific choices. So maybe we can start with Radio Panique, is to have like their insight in how did they deal with this independent radio making and the digital era.
For Radio Panique, I guess it was about a point when they decide to not use Windows playlist player and to choose an alternative way to like a free software
engineering.
And maybe first, this motivation, why didn't you want to use this Windows Media Player?
In Brussels, at that time, it was around 2002. It was Domain Public, who was running the independent internet network. And Eric Gianciuto was also on the administration committee in Radio Panique. And they were talking and thinking about alternative options to broadcast. At that time, broadcasting was not that common. And so they were thinking with different collective, like a Nova or a squad was called Tagawa, the Compilotech or Réseau Citoyen at the moment. Yeah. So they were the only ones on the place at that time to think, and they wanted to find an alternative solution. So that start this time, and in 2003 it was a panic break for the radio show. So it was only a playlist running all day, and in 2004 it was back a computer with a playlist and the administration of panic at the same time on the same laptop. So it was kind of really basic. And Windows was playing 800 tracks.
Continuously.
Yeah. So.
But Windows had a name that it had to be restarted sometimes.
Yes, and that's why this idea of Domain Public has been on another tool to emerge, to have a web stream that is continuous, but not all the time the same. So. Maybe I continue, Susie, for the next years. The tools were QJack in 2005. It was the first stream from Malibran. It was a squad in Brussels, but only with Wi-Fi, so computers by computers, to connect with the different squads at the time. And after, in 2008, the software were just like QJack for the classic application to deliver audio to web stream, Dark Snow, and the playlist handler was VLC in 2008. At the other end, there is Jack for the mixer app, and the terminal, it was Pulse Audio, and so on. Maybe it's too much technical here.
No, most of the names are sound common, like VLC, that's a player that has a nice, how is it called in English, this traffic, thing, orange traffic sign.
Historically, VLC was developed in a high school in the south of Paris, so it's also just like a university project, so it's always the reference. Maybe you want to continue?
In August 2005, it was a plein open air organized by Nova, Cinema Nova. So they invite Italians who make application Soma. I don't know if you know it, but it's a radio program.
Soma is to schedule programs, show, but not tracks, but just like maybe 2-hour show or 1-hour show after one another.
So Radio Panic could meet these Italians and talk about the Soma and to use it and to try it, and also to make some modification for the use of Panic. And then that's starting with Soma. So we use Soma for a long time, till pretty much this year we switched to another developed tools just for us and to not keep... Soma was a great software to use, like kind of basic. But now we want the users have more control about their radio show, so they can upload a podcast or they can program a stream. So we developed few
tools. But it's Fred, the guy in Panic, who is not here tonight, is called Fred. and he developed a tool that is called PanicDB, where you can upload your 2-hour show with the mix. So it is, but it's very. You can get into the show just like if you want to upload half an hour of reportage, and then after get the podcast only for the reportage and not the whole show. So it's very just like a teaching habit of presenting the radio. And the problem with Soma, that there was some schedule problems with non-existent days, just like the end of the month. If it was a month with 31 days, it couldn't.
Smartphone is making
feedback. Maybe we
Ants
is going to join the conversation. Maybe Ants. Ants, are you there?
Well. So yeah, like softly we move to a proper developed tools by PanicDB called Stamina, who make the work of Soma today almost.
And this tool, is it? It's developed just for you, or
yeah.
So in-house, or by people who are in the neighborhood of Rant.
It's developed by Frederik Peters, so he's well known about GNOME community and other work. And so the programmation committee asked him for more tools, and so he developed. So for me, it's a kind of magic, because I don't understand about terminal action, but...
It's very nice if you can have tools that are made especially for you, with all the things that you need.
We are lucky to have this kind of partner in the radio, so yeah.
Yes, if I understand well, then the very first tools were not really tools from a radio environment. They came from internet streaming...
And
not really from radio.
Or only for Soma. The Soma tool was developed by
really
the Italian radio, independent radio. But the other tools were just like, players from VLC to Windows player or something like that. Yes, at the beginning. After, it was designed for making radio. And PanicDB now is the jewel of Frederik Peters.
What hardware does it require, this PanicDB?
That's a good question.
Is it a client server system? So you have a computer where you run an interface, and there's some in the back, there's still some server where all the files reside in.
Yes, and you can jump from 1 hour to another, but just like what it does, it just like open the stream for one entry on the server, and then plays the show that you uploaded. And we usually upload MP3 or OGG because it's too much time if we do WAV. So WAV is just out of time, you want to upload your show, you say, okay, no, not this format, but another. Yes, because
the OGG file has a good...
For example.
Basically, today we're using different software like Ardour or Mix or Linux Player Show to make a cartouchier. Je ne sais pas comment on dit.
It's like a cartouchier. It's like a.
It's like a playlist, or.
You can control music tracks or jingles in a really easy interface compared to QMMP. It's like a really painful player, but we have used different tools that exist already as well. And
that's then also mostly for some people of the radio know and they are managing that, or it's for all the radio makers who have different programs who also are going in that interface. And
No, the interface is ruled by Frederik. And all the radio makers use the tool, but do not get behind. They just
But they all use the tool themselves.
Yes. Or they
depends like on each person. Some like the interface really nice with colors, and some don't care and just play music once and then talking. So for some of them, they want to have a mix and the controller, and Ardo for the recording more intense and.
Yeah, it depends on the intensity of the will of the people that they want to do radio. So sometimes they just use the first tool, sometimes they learn and get behind the tool, but it's logically, and most of the time people only use the user interface side of the...
Of course, yes.
Yeah, most of the time.
And for the streaming from another place... We use different things because today, because of lockdown and a situation like this, we cannot control all the laptop or the gears the volunteers use at home. So we can push them to but interface. It's quite easy to make in any platform, Windows or Mac or Linux. We use on a smartphone a CoolMic, so it's another interface we can stream and broadcast.
What does it mean? Does it mean that the maker of a radio show can work from at home?
Yeah. For some people, it's easier than to come to the studio, but most of the time we decide to do a radio show outside the studio. For any reason, so an event or to go and be invited in somewhere.
Like this.
Yes, exactly.
Just like you.
Improvised technical setup.
Yeah, but it's also a tool we can invite volunteers who cannot come to the fifth floor, for example, for any reason, so they can upload the podcast or they can do the stream as well, and they can do stream with Mumble together in stream, like in a platform with Twitch or Jitsi or Zoom or whatever. Okay. And Mumble can be an interface. You can more control the each sound of all person, but you cannot control the quality of each person. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
But then all these radio makers now also, for example, in the lockdown, you present them these alternatives for technological alternatives. Do you also do some trainings, or how do you actually introduce the people to be able to work with this all these other tools they are not used to?
Yeah, when someone asks for radio show and the radio show is accepted by the programmation committee, so I start to do an écolage with them. So I teach them what the tools they have on the studio, and then they can have any question to me and come with any request, and we will find any solutions to make them make radio shows.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like, how do you call it, best good practices, example, Radio Panic?
Yeah, we're not afraid about mistakes and a blank or silence on radio. The most important for us is they make the radio show and they make it, and they will not do the mistake the same.
Yes.
And they will do another, and they will learn like this.
You need the space to be able to learn.
Yes. And time.
Yes, of course.
is that something which like is in the core of independent radio making, besides from any of the technologies, that you can make mistakes and it's
of
actually
course.
A process also of learning or to emancipate in that spectrum to be a voice?
Yes. Yes, it's a learning tool. And I understand it's also in Panic, but not only in Panic, but this learning space is very important as independent radio making and transmitting these this way of doing. I don't know if Hans, he had got his ears back.
Hans has put his telephone on streaming so he can hear us through the radio. And
of course.
He will switch then the laptop to Yitzi in order to try to participate.
Yeah, but the most important, I think, was like whether we can hear Hans, actually.
Yes.
So is there already, because like I put like... my telephone to the main mixer. If Hans speaks, can we hear him now?
It's open.
On
so
the next machine.
If he talks, we can try.
Can you try to say something, Hans?
Or Fredux, if he's on the call already. I sent the address also to
Fredux. Yeah, Fredux was also there, but it's.
From Radio Campus.
No.
Everything is open here, so I don't think it comes through.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, then maybe we switch still first to somebody who is actually here. And then I think I will be halfly present checking cables. But Peter is here also. I don't say Fredux. Fredux, Fred. Yeah, excuse me. Fred from Radio Panique seems a very valuable person from within the radio.
Yes.
He also makes radio or...?
He had a radio show for years, and now he stopped a bit. So he's totally involved in the technical group.
Yeah.
But he went. He was a part of administration committee, but he quit as well to put more energy in the technique part.
Technical support. Yeah.
And
we have also, somebody in the Yitzi we cannot hear, Fredux from Radio Campus. And they recently also broadened their support with the GNU Garistas. And that's Peter who is here. Because they also were like having a specific technical stance into the independent radio making and how to find ways to do that in the digital era.
Yeah. Now I'm very new to radio in the end because I started more from meeting some people from Source, Fredux, True Bakes, Lug, and. Since 2000, wandering around in Brussels, Libre Arts. Yes, and so following Réseau Citoyen back in the day and hanging around a bit in squats and other places.
Kind of family.
Yeah, yeah. And now some. 2-3 years ago, meeting a bit more the people around Neutrinet, which are also involved in the Source program at Radio Campus, which is a program around Libre Software at Radio Campus Friday evenings, where the ID is still so one way, GNU Ragist. Which is a bit, with some people from Neutrinet and some people from the club, basically, Skarbek, to see how we can improve like Libre Software in general, like have a support for instead of doing IT support for I don't know what business thing.
KBC.
To start something, slow pace, but in a group or in a community. And at Radio Campus, like a year ago, there was the need to have somebody to set up, because there was quite a lot. But to give some support on the systems running. Which grew out of the... So Radio Campus is at ULB, at the University of Brussels.
Yeah.
So they fell back quite a lot on people around ULB.
Did they use the infrastructure, or do they use the infrastructure of the university?
In a big part, yes. I mean, the network is there. The internet is fantastic. You take the phone and you call the sysadmin, the network administrator will be okay. And of course, sometimes it's also like, okay, there's a big firewall. And and a lot of the systems in place were set up by somebody from working at the VLBA. And this is slowly changing now. Basically to have a run. So all the there's some piece like all the machines in the studio are running Linux, basically.
Are you talking about desktops or?
Desktop and server systems.
Okay.
For audio. For playlists and program making itself, there's IDGC. Mm. It's like a small internet DJ console, I think it's called, which there can have multiple two tracks and set up jingles.
And that's actually a campus who's introduced IDGC to Radio Panic at some point.
Yeah.
And great.
I didn't know all these tools. I didn't know about EPSA, for instance. Now, on the server side, there's like this what we call a bond on stop, BNS. It's basically audio player MPD, it's called MOC. It's like something just generate, taking random files and playing them. So that's running all the time, unless there is basically a cron script that says, okay, at this time we start a remission, like a repeat, a herhaling of program, or we take or alive. Like
but for example, a cron script runs from itself and it overrules everything, or
it starts the media player.
Or it still can be, if something goes wrong, people can still. In the mixer they can, for example, keep it out. Because I think it's a typical problem for if you are having a more commercial radio, then like commercials have to go. Mm. Whatever happens, it goes over everything. While we don't need that strong kind of timing and.
No, definitely. So the regie in the end is there, the on air button, which takes the antenna. Mm-hmm.
Do you mind control? Got it.
And then for everything that's streaming, there's a machine on the other end of the campus that basically takes through. So the studio takes audio. It goes over audio cable to FM modulator, and there's also a splitter to a server that with liquid soap takes the audio in and encodes it to
external.
I was wondering, I'm the only one who doesn't know a lot about computers, but I thought it was also expensive to have a lot of people listening through streaming. So you choose like an amount of people listening, and then you pay for this to be able to have the people listening not through the FM band but through streaming. Or is there ways to do it that you can target a wider public and that you do it through other systems that you don't have to pay for it? Yeah.
Is it not like...
Because I think if there is more than 100 people listening to the streaming to Radio Central, it's not
working anymore.
Yeah,
no?
I think in Central it used to be 20, but that's of course because like they had like a service, like a icecast service, like a streaming service with a commercial company. And of course, how more people you are, many people you want to let listen at the same time, what do you need more? You need bigger processors. You need bigger computers.
And then you have to upgrade with the company actually.
The company is actually saying, okay, for what you pay, you get only for 20 listeners. If you have, of course, your own server, which is a performant machine, can have like many more listeners.
I think the big difference between what we normally do, FM broadcast. Once you have the broadcast, it doesn't matter if one person listens, 2, 10, 100, 1,000. It doesn't make any difference for the broadcast equipment.
But with internet streaming,
that's different because you need a connection for every one person that listens needs a connection. So it takes much more resources, and it goes up very fast with the number of listeners.
And is there a way to get around it, actually?
No, not really. That's just a different medium. If you on the internet, everyone is one internet connection. It's peer to peer, but it's one point to one point. That's always like that on the internet.
Or one point where like hundreds want to be to go to that one.
Okay,
point.
But that one point is a server that needs 100.
If there is one person in Brussels and this one person in Brussels divides it.
And that's typical the service. That's typical the service
that's done
by. You could
have this kind of argument with another Icecast service or somebody who streams. And does, streams again to another server or something like that. But it's very not so convenient, I think.
Well, it's like mirrors.
Mirrors.
But I saw Peter shaking his head Wim was saying, like, with an antenna, it's no difference.
With the FM transmitter.
Is it? Because I thought I saw you shaking.
But I think the main point will be bandwidth. Because we have quite an old machine running, I mean, the Icecast, that had a computer, we ran it off. Of course, there's the network is from the old days, so there is this problem of bandwidth, which is there.
But, the first streaming on Radio Central was with a DSL line. We streamed out with a DSL line.
But of course, when you have 100 people connecting to receive the stream, you will send 100 times the same thing. So this is volume that can be something. But
and then the second point is if you have if you do broadcasting on FM, then there's kind of agreement with SABAM, the authors' rights organization. If you do next to it something on the internet, you'll have to go again and talk about what it is going to cost.
To pay twice, almost, kind of.
Yeah, but now for the FM, for instance, SABAM makes an estimation on how many people would listen to Radio Central by antenna. And we have no idea if this is really like...
It's an estimation.
It's an estimation. If they say there is 200 people and there is only two... There is nothing to arrange about it. It's already somewhere in the open, no?
Yes, that's also in maybe in the next subject of DAB+. This is what you... Maybe it's the introduction for this technologic problem that they want to impose, or not, maybe no, I don't know. But it's the idea also of quantification, the audience, if you want to talk to 300 people or more, or multiplying some stuff. What does this economic boundary that you talked about, just like for the commercial radios, it's a little bit not the same principles, but on the numeric air problem, it's like the technologic advance is just like you. They want maybe a little bit. I'm maybe too short on this subject, but they want to test the technology to let the commercial full flow, and the independent. No way.
Yeah, I think there was already like a meeting about it, and I think in Flanders they think about radios as a commercial company.
Yeah.
So if you go with DAB+, you reach more audience, so you can also ask more income from publicity, because the publicity is heard by more people. But if you don't go in this logic, then of course you're not helped with this.
Yes.
Yeah, and it seems also that there is a distinction between Flanders and Wallonia, because there was a quite active radio
network?
Solidarity network.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Yes, the CRAX. It's an association of all independent and non-commercial radio. And for the CRAX, it was a complicated topic to say, is it okay for us to move to a technology? We don't have money to pay for the gears, and we don't have any technical support to make running this DAB Plus system during the year. So, and plus tests of DAB Plus are not so well, and plus there is like too many radio player on the one multiplex for all independents, and also another problem with maradio.be is running the budget from the FAC and go back to a big company. So for us and from our point of view, it's quite complicated to say, yeah, okay, we want to make it, but actually is 130 FM listener, 130 of radio listener is one third of on FM, one third on internet, and one third on DAB+. Like
for panic,
barely. Like
yeah.
No, it's not only for panic. It's for everything. And in 2028, I was talking with some people in Radio Air Libre, and they say it would be about 30 to 40% of people listening on DAB+ equipment. So for us, it doesn't make any sense at the moment. It's like a lobbyist deal between them, and there is for us no point to move from FM transmission, who does work and who is already set up, and to another technology. It would be probably in less condition than we have. Like quality is not enough for the stream on the DAB+. So we're just looking at the Marcourt government to say, yeah, we're lucky and we regret, because the DAB+ is really on it and is really here, and it is not. So we watch them to congratulate themselves. And we hope to a new device and a new technology will be that will be more efficient than DAB+ for for us on the independent radio on the one multiplex. So it's like 12 flux on one multiplex, and we are already 19. Radio on one multiplex in Brussels, but everywhere in Wallonia or anywhere is not the case. We are just one exception on all the multiplex in DAB+ they want to do. So they make the, and plus they accept company from France or anywhere who they make association, and they said, yeah, we are radio independent in Brussels because we have an association and ISBL in Brussels in a box mail, and that it's and the main office is in Paris or anywhere in France, so they put them into independent radio from Brussels. So you
mean there is radios that are not actually radios, yeah, in Brussels, covering up to have more reach in different,
it's
not, countries?
Yes, it's a question of reach, but it's the status of being an independent radio, not 100% commercial radio, just like the an independent, and maybe service public or pure commercial FM or radio. So they try to say we are ASBL just to be in the DAB, but they are not having the same rules as ethically making radio as a free radio. So they just, it's just, we were talking about it in the train, it's these companies from France or somewhere else that go to Belgium just to have a ticket to buy small price and then say okay. So it's just like a little bit of economical reverse engineering, something like that. But on the DAB plus technology, there are some lobbyists who want to continue to sell things, but with smaller costs. Mm-hmm. So that's why the technology is a little bit like a trap, or I don't know how to say it. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And why choosing to engage in the DAB plus and not saying okay, we're just not gonna jump on. We're not gonna jump on the DAB train, and
we are
just
going to fight for the FM frequencies.
And
yes.
Yeah, and burn all the antenna.
The
yeah, yeah.
One frequency in all Belgium for the independent radios would be also easy. You know? You don't have to switch on your. On your radio, the frequency, maybe we can save maybe one. Huh? Yeah.
But actually, the CSA, the organ,
the organism,
the organism, whose control, who are independent or commercial radio or association, accept different. Different application from any radio, and didn't check if it's radio from Belgium or not. And the point is, I'm pretty confused. Sorry.
But you have the same now, no? There is different radios that play most of the hours. They broadcast the same sheet, and then in some hours they have different local programming.
Yes, but it's also the.
So and they're also taking up space on the.
On the FM.
On the FM bandwidth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you have the same.
Yeah, but it's just like when you jump on the train. Sorry, Mark, maybe you.
I don't know. I wanted to say, let's go out of the
yes.
FM.
Yes, go out of the FM.
And still, like, try to understand, what are these free software tools that yes. maybe we can already share. The discussion on the DAB, we have to also share, I think, and we have to see that we are creating, like, good links to understand each other's position, to see what we will have to maybe fight for. It's maybe interesting also to zoom in for a moment in Radio Central, and Wim is already from the beginning actually active, I don't know how many years.
Not the beginning of Radio Central, but what it must, I don't know when I got in, somewhere in the 90s.
In the 90s, so it was still before the digital era, let's say, but actually not, because you were with the program of Webgang introducing a program on tools and.
Well, in the beginning, Webgang was not about free software or open source or this kind of things. No, Webgang started before. It started with the starting of the internet, the dial-up modem where you could dial in and dial into a bulletin board, not to the internet, to a bulletin board that wasn't a server with a lot of telephone connections where you could dial in and then you could, download. It was, there was no browser or something. It was just command line things. And then the internet started to come up and suddenly everyone got theoretically access to this huge medium of information and exchange and communication. And that's where the radio show Web Gang started. Mm. So in the beginning, the first tune, I don't have it with me, but was the dial-up sounds of the modem, mm-hmm. which sounded exactly like a fax machine, for example. Mm.
And then besides from the program, you were also quite active in the organization of the radio.
Yes, yes.
And you were also like part of the technical group or...
Well, not in the beginning, but after a while the question came to use computers somehow for a lot of kind of things. And because my radio show was a little bit about it, so it started to come together. But I think somewhere in the end of the 90s, we started to talk more and more about this open source and what's happening there. And it's interesting because we didn't talk about the common things. We always were looking a little bit the more interesting things going on down there. Then this open source thing started to get traction. And of course, it was interesting to talk about, but it's much more interesting to try out yourself if it's possible. So that's where we started to use to experiment and to use the things, not yet for the radio. Only afterwards we came to a point where, for example, the big frustration of the desktop that's always going wrong. Then it's easy to use a Linux desktop. You have much better grip on what the machine does, what you install, what you don't install, for example. When the updates happen, for example.
the craziness of the too many Macintosh updates.
Yes, not
still happening
not
now,
but common problem. And then afterwards, when we started to do streaming, then also with the first streaming, we used open source tools. I heard some names before, the servers,
And there is also some kind of in-house programming, because like the Nachtmaschine, and that's our playlist for the night, it seems like Daniel is the one behind talking in some Java to a machine, and also now still like doing it line per line for everything which is...
But that's not an official or public open source.
But just to also make the comparison that
In-house development.
Yeah, it's like in-house development for a specific necessity, but it doesn't mean that you're also interfacing that necessity to other radio makers or to the radio in general. Mostly if you write a program yourself, if you don't write a documentation or you don't make... visual interface, the most other users will be blocked of being able to use that.
Maybe we can ask Lydia. She just entered, and that was one of the persons that accompanied me at my trip through the universe of software and IT. You have your own microphone. Nice. Which one is it? Yeah, okay. Maybe you can say something about how you came in contact with things like open source and your perception of it. From like you came from outside this technical matter, and how did it feel for you? How did it look? What did it look like?
Yeah, for me, to be honest, I started at Radio Central when I was 18 years old. And it was, I never got in contact with open source before that. And then I met you. And once I started making program with Wim, I started getting into the open source world. For me, how it felt, it was like a world that's opening. Because the most things you see in the mainstream media are other things, so suddenly it's like, oh, there is other things. There is things like free music. There is things like... And until the day of today, now it's been 10 years ago that we made a program together, but we did it together for 10 years. I'm still totally behind the whole thing. Even today at work, I was promoting the Creative Commons licenses for the music on the podcasts. So,
yes, indeed, we discovered while doing the radio show and talking about it, we start to use it ourselves, and then we discovered that there are a lot of other things that are coming close to these open source ideas. And there's the music. We discovered we had a very nice time discovering free music. Music that worked on the same ideas of sharing, and you are allowed to share, you are allowed to copy, you are allowed to play it without paying extra royalties anywhere. And that's an example of something where you can, yeah, these ideas goes much wider than just software. And
also, I always remember also the solar races that they organized where cars are used with solar energy in Australia, and we always made big...
it was interesting to follow all technology that goes wider than just this open source. And of course, we also made some common tools for ourselves. For example, this one is just a tool to very easily... use the text of, if we have some news text during the normal show, it starts with news, and you can select a text that comes on the screen in a little bit bigger format. We have an overview, we have some, the titles are summarized, we can start the tune of the show and the tune for the news, and we can load a music that comes on the buttons so that we can easily start on the touch screen. And this was also a development we did just for ourselves to have it in the show, a very practical thing on one computer where you have and the text and the music and everything.
Yeah, and I think you release it on GitLab, no?
It's on,
people
yes.
can also
yes,
actually...
Yes, on the WebGang account. Okay. And there's some counters, so when you start the show, you can also see how far we are. 57 minutes.
Speaking the microphone.
Yes, in French you say it's like maybe a chemin de fer. In French, when you have the structure of the show, the interviews, the music, and, you know, it's called a chemin de fer. Like in France Inter, they do this all the time to write down show. Yeah. This tool seems to be.
And it's written
cool.
in.
Counts up and down.
Gambas, I think.
And then afterwards, it's for a Linux desktop. It should work on most common distributions. And at the end of the show, the work doesn't stop yet, because we use some text and we want to publish them, we want to put them on the internet, so it should help, the tool should help, it should summarize and make it in a HTML format that we can easily paste into
the
blog.
So you don't have to transcript or to make too much copy?
Yes, and also the music, it keeps track of the music that is played and prepares it to also just easily... Yes. Paste it into the website.
Yeah, maybe it would be nice actually, because like this is something you were writing for WebGang and your own necessities, and there was a lot of little things already and bigger things written in these different independent radios, to have like a source of resource in which we can actually share the different. Programs and because you have also a very specific website, for example, with Panique. It's also an open source system. Radio Centraal wants to make a website. Sometimes it feels like there is all these little things which are developed, but how can we exchange more maybe the endeavors which were already made into the free software and open source environments of that radio making?
It would be great to have all independent a radio to share and to communicate more than back in the days. It was a small community about to find alternative, but today everyone can do their own radio show in their side and not sharing so much. And that's important to keep this link together. we get more full of details and tools we can use and share. And yes, that's still the philosophy of community, of independent video.
One of the problems there is, of course, you already need all the time you have and more to run your own radio station, and then to work together with others takes also a lot of time. And there were some cooperations, like this beginning time of the internet, we did have a common platform with music, a server where we put music and also like broadcasts that were recorded were put on a server at Radio Panic. And the idea was to use it as a source for broadcast programs for exchange. And it was a common platform made with several radios, not just Central and Panic. It was I don't remember which radios were there, but it was quite early. It was also a project that was supported by a university. It was a kind of research also. But then we see that it's quite difficult to get everybody along to use the technology, to use to fill the things, and then afterwards.
And it's also mostly dependent on certain people who are also active in this radio, who believe in that specific project and want to put energy and time in it. What is nice actually to know is that we have some kind of discussion today already, so we put already some energy and time in it. I think I see on the Yitzi also three people who wanted to join in this conversation. So, and Beatscapes is also getting ready for the program. So maybe it's good to make more conversations in the future with the people who are now, or we can try one more time to have somebody of Air Libre, but I'm a little bit afraid to go in.
Everything's open. There's no.
Yeah, if the person would talk
but
now.
Maybe we can extend it to some other webgang shows.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say, to continue this conversation, which our program of an hour always seems very short, and also to continue the discussions in inside of Radio Central, which I to keep this legacy of this conversation with us to continue our inner dialogue.
What actually also would be nice would is to have like on a certain time base workshops for the people who are not so familiar, because it's also that's a fear of people, because they know Windows, they know the other familiar stuff, and they get afraid if there is something not familiar, and they think also, yeah, if we choose for this, it's only a few people who know how to handle if there is, for instance, a problem. So then they think actually they would have to be more dependent on few people than if they would choose for more familiar software. And just to make a change in this, it would be good to
workshops to enlarge this
group of people who knows the specific.
So if you want to choose to make radio, just use open source software first and see what's going on, and then maybe you will change your mind and do something different. But you have to try, and you have to be motivated to, at some point, to do something not easy, not the easiest way, but at some still a good to try at least.
I think for our organizations, it's also important to keep this independence, and it's easier to keep the independence with open source and free software. The products we use are not products of a commercial company that sometimes changes its mind and for whatever reasons, but not the reasons of the users, changes the behavior or changes the politics on the software. And these kind of advantages are very difficult to not get used to. If you don't want to miss it anymore. Once you are into this kind of use of software and this independence, and then you stick to it. So there are real advantages.
Yep.
Yeah, and I would also like to thank, we have like a very nice Kraken here all the time going around. I was sending to Wim the sound pieces of Valentina Vukcic. She's actually specialized in data sonifications, mainly in big server parks, and I think that's what slipped under the whole of this conversation. So you can stop the soundtrack now and let's listen more to data server sonifications while we are training ourselves in new ways of making radio.
Okay, thank you all for being here, and be back next Thursday on Radio Central in Webgang. We will mention as much as we can on the website and the blog.